What's going on, guys? I'm Cristiano Oliveira from the Benfica Podcast, and you're listening to the Seleção Podcast.
Bem jogado por Simão, a passar por dois adversários, Simão, a tentar oferecer o gol a Figo, e a bola é gol! O gol da Figo!
Rui Costa vai, Rui Costa vai, acreditou, vai tirar para o golo, atira o golo! 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 Golo!
And we welcome you to episode number 18 of the Seleção Podcast, a proud partner of Portugal.net. My name is Danny Pinto. I am your host. Thank you so much for tuning in to our latest podcast as we will be reviewing the 23-man roster that Fernando Santos has selected for the semifinals and finals of the Nations League coming up in just about a little under 2 weeks. So we will be reviewing his selections, and we will be doing so with Cristiano Oliveira from the Benfica podcast. He was nice enough to spend some time with us and go over the roster, give his thoughts on the team, on Fernando Santos himself, and a little bit of what was a pretty much a very joyous occasion this past Saturday as Benfica won their 37th league title. Of course, we always ask you to check us out on our variety of platforms. First off, our website, SeleçãoPod.com. Please like and share our Facebook page, facebook.com/SeleçãoPod. Follow us on Twitter and on Instagram at SeleçãoPod. And of course, you can always email the show, SeleçãoPod@gmail.com. We, of course, are available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, and iHeartRadio. And of course, you can always listen to our shows and get all the episodes on those platforms, as well as SeleçãoPod.com/episodes. And if you're hearing us via Portugal.net, of course, we want to thank Tom Cundert for our continuous partnership as we continue to try to grow this podcast more and more each and every time. So I said in the beginning, we will be going over the 23-man roster. I'll initially give you my thoughts on the roster and what it all means for the Seleção for their immediate future. We'll then go ahead and get our interview with Cristiano Oliveira. Get you guys to listen to his thoughts on everything Seleção and Benfica, and then we will end the show with your feedback, your questions. Following the announcement of the roster, we asked for some questions from you guys to see how you guys felt about Fernando Santos' selection. So we will go over those to close out the show. But without further ado, let me first go over the roster that was announced by Fernando Santos on Thursday in Portugal, and a 23-man roster for the Nations League. And to be quite honest, there was not a lot of changes, with the exception of just the amount of players that they could take on this roster. The Euro 2020 roster was 25 players. The Nations League roster is 23 players, and the roster stayed the same, with the exception of two players, which were João Mário and André Silva. So, but the 23-man roster is as follows: goalkeepers Rui Patrice, Beto, and José Sá; defenders Pep, José Fonte, João Cuncel, Rafael Guerreiro, Ruben Dias, Mário Rui, Nelson Smith; midfielders William Carvalho, Daniel Pereira, Ruben Neves, Pizzi, Bruno Fernandes, João Moutinho; and the forwards and wings, Bernard Silva, João Félix, Rafa Silva, Diogo Jota, Gonçalo Guedes, Diego Souza, and the captain, Cristiano Ronaldo. So those are your 23. Like I said, the only two changes really are just the two roster spots that Fernando Santos did not have to fill, and João Mário and André Silva were not selected. So there is your 23-man roster who are tasked to bring home the first ever Nations League trophy and to do so on home soil. And we'll talk about that a little bit. My initial thoughts are I think that this is a very, very strong squad, a squad that can win the Nations League. They have a tough matchup to open up against Switzerland. Switzerland playing very well. It was the top team in terms of points in the group stages of Nations League, along with their group mate Belgium, but they beat them out on goal differential. So Switzerland is not any pushover. Really, no one is a pushover at this point in the tournament. With the Netherlands and England in the other semifinal, it will be quality matches in the semifinals and in the final. So obviously, we hope and we pray that Portugal does make the final. And I think this roster, as constructed, can do that. They can definitely make this final on June the 9th, and they can definitely win the whole thing. So I definitely think that Fernando Santos has done a very good job in his selections for this Nations League. As for the roster itself, if there was any omissions, I really thought that Ricardo Pereira did enough since the World Cup to merit a call-up to play either left back or right back, whether he's starting or not. I think I would have selected him over Mario Rui and Nelson Smith. I have nothing against those players at all. I just think that Ricardo Pereira, and I go into it a little bit with Christian later on, being that he was the player of the year chosen by the club, player of the year chosen by his teammates at Leicester City, his first year in the EPL, I thought he played very, very well throughout the season for Leicester City. They finished ninth in the league, top half of the league. They don't have the talent, obviously, of the Manchester Cities and the Uniteds and the Chelseas and the Tottenhams or the Liverpools. But I thought that Ricardo Pereira, in terms of quality of play, and you know, adjusting to a new league, I thought he did very well, and I thought that he really needed. I thought he deserved a call up. So I think Fernando Santos could have taken Ricardo Pereira, and I would have been absolutely fine with it. Whether he took him over Mario Rui or Nelson Smith, to me, I think he's interchangeable. It could have been over either one. So that's really the only real gripe, if there even is one, about the selection of the 23-man roster that Fernando Santos has selected. Not taking André Silva and not taking João Mário, I think it's recognizing, even though these guys have been so important to where Portugal has gotten themselves in terms of getting to the Nations League, qualifying for last summer's World Cup. The form is just not there for either of these players, and especially right now for André Silva. There's a lot going on that is injury related, that isn't injury related, that just has not helped him in his cause for a call up. And he posted on Instagram that he's very disappointed in not getting the call up. And that's very understandable. But I think it was the right decision, given that Diogo Jota, João Félix, Cristiano Ronaldo, those three up top in some variation, whether it's, not all three playing together, but maybe two of the three playing together to start a game, maybe, Jota or Félix coming off the bench at the second, there's not a lack of quality there that would need to force André Silva's selection. So I applaud Fernando Santos there in not taking him on. And speaking of Jota and Félix and hopefully Bruno Fernandes, I hope they stay healthy. I know in the Euro 2020 qualifiers, Diogo Jota was available for both matches. He was not selected. I hope that is rectified in the semifinals and hopefully finals. João Félix was not selected in the first game. He picked up a knock in training, did not play in the second game. And then Bruno Fernandes, he picked up a knock prior to the games and was not available for Ukraine or Serbia. So I'm hoping these three are available. I hope they're healthy. They obviously finished the seasons for their respective clubs in unbelievable fashions. So what I'm hoping is that we get to see them, for lack of a better term, I hope we get to see them unleashed onto the Selesong stage. I really want to see Bruno Fernandes start, get the starting nod in the 11. I'd love to see, you know, either Jota or Felix up top somewhere with Cristiano Ronaldo at some point, whether it's, you know, to start off the game or, you know, some sort of an adjustment in the formation. There's a lot of firepower, and I've used that word before in previous podcasts. But it is what it is. There is a lot of firepower in this squad offensively, and I hope that we get to finally see it come to fruition because we, you know, we're all well aware of the struggles that this team has had in the last two matches of the Euro 2020 qualifiers, in not the creation of opportunities, but it's the converting of these opportunities. There's no reason why Portugal shouldn't be sitting atop their group with 6 points based off of 18 corners that they created against Ukraine and the numerous opportunities they created against Serbia, where it's just finishing and having guys like Diogo Jota, João Félix, Bruno Fernandes to not only score but create in the middle of the field, that gives an added element that we did not see in these qualifiers and what we hope will be on stage for the world to see in the upcoming Nations League semifinals. And finally, it was going to be no surprise, but I think we all kind of we all kind of waited with bated breath just to make sure Cristiano Ronaldo was selected for the Nations League roster. Obviously, we knew he would be, but because he had, you know, the hiatus during group play, you almost wondered how stubborn Fernandes could have been. But obviously, the captain is back, and he'll be tasting Nations League action for the first time, and hopefully, we see him, as the captain, put that trophy over his head after winning the final on June 9th and Portugal adding another trophy and the inaugural Nations League trophy in their trophy case. So that is a look at the roster for me. I did want to touch on Fernandes real quick before we get to our interview with Cristiano Oliveira from the Benfica podcast. On our last show when we reviewed the two draws to open up a Euro 2020 qualifying, there was a vocal minority, and I don't know what the split is on people's thoughts on Fernandes and his future with the Selecao. I thought that after the draws that it was still premature to let him go, to fire Fernandes. I am very, very well aware that my thoughts on him staying on as the Selecionador, my thoughts and my feelings on him staying might be very very influenced by what he did for us in the summer of 2016 to bring us our first trophy. With that said, I do think that his future with the Selecao is riding on the results of this Nations League. If Portugal crash out in the semifinals, if they're not playing well, if we get a repeat of non-execution and not taking advantage of opportunities, I really do think that his job could be in jeopardy, fair or not. And why I'm kind of changing my tune a little bit from where I was, a few months back is firing him, back then, or firing him now, you still have 6 matches, no matter what, in the Euro 2020 qualifying. What I think the Nations League does is it gives us an opportunity and a window into what a team with now an injection of youth with a veteran presence, what it's going to look like to qualify for Euro 2020. And if the struggles continue with this Nations League, and again, home soil, there's a lot of pressure, but I do think his job is on the line here. I really do. Especially if, as I mentioned, results are obviously, it's a results-driven business, but if we don't get the results that we need, if we crash out against Switzerland and we look bad doing so, I really do think that Fnatic's job is in jeopardy, and who knows then what the next step would be for this last song. I'm hoping, selfishly, that we don't have to worry about him getting fired, because I would assume that means that Portugal at the very least made the final and hopefully played well in doing so. Obviously, we're all hoping for the Slesong to win the trophy. But if there's struggles and if there are still questions in terms of tactics and the opportunities created or not are not converted, yeah, those are on the players too. But the coach picks the players, and the coach has his fingerprints all over the squad. So I do think that if there are struggles, Fnatic's job is definitely in question. And who knows who might be the heir apparent to the Selecionador position with the qualifying opening up again in September. So. There's a lot riding on this Nations League for Fnatic, in my opinion. Again, hopefully for him and hopefully for us, he keeps his job because we won the inaugural Nations League. All right, without further ado, let's get over to our interview now with Cristiano Oliveira from the Benfica podcast. He was nice enough to join us to talk about the roster announcement, the team itself, a little preview of the U20 World Cup, and of course a little bit of Benfica season as they won their 37th title. So here is our interview with Cristiano Oliveira of the Benfica podcast right here on episode 18 of the Seleção podcast. So folks, you've heard my thoughts on the 23-man roster that Fnatic has selected for the upcoming semifinals and hopefully final for the Seleção. In the next couple of weeks, June 5th, the semifinal against Switzerland, and then the final or the third place game on June the 9th. My next guest is here to give us his thoughts as well on the roster and everything Selecion coming up in the Nations League. He is Cristiano Oliveira from the Benfica podcast. You can follow Cristiano on Twitter at 10CO10. Cristiano, Danny Pinto here from California, man. I know it's a little late back east, but thanks so much for joining us on episode number 18.
Yeah, my pleasure, man. Thanks a lot for having me on.
First off, have you recovered from Saturday yet?
No, I mean that's going to be a long-lasting party that we're going to enjoy as much as we can, and at least until July 1st when the team reports for training camp, and then we'll figure out what to do next.
You know, in leading up to the interview, you asked me if I was going to be heading out to Santa Clara to check out the Benfica taking on. Is it Chivas or Club America?
Chivas,
yeah. And I will be out of the country. I will be back east, but in Toronto. So we'll miss hooking up in person, man. But again, thanks for coming on. I really appreciate your time.
Yeah, my pleasure, buddy. My pleasure.
All right, man. So let's get started, man. Fnatic earlier this morning, 12:30 in the afternoon in Lisbon, he announced the 23-man squad that will be going to Porto. Hopefully for two games to take on the folks that have qualified for the Nations League, that being the immediate opponent, the Swiss, and then the winner of the Netherlands and England, hopefully. Not a lot of change in the roster, obviously just two spots less chosen. It was a 23-man roster this time instead of the 25 for the Euros. Only Andres Silva and João Mário off that squad. What did you think of Fnatic's initial or the final 23?
Yeah, obviously, every time you talk about Fnatic and his squad selection, you wonder who he's going to call, what guys from the Velha Guarda are going to be called up. There's obviously plenty of conversation leading up to these convocatorias about calling up youngsters and stuff like that. And I think this time with the U20 going on, his job was made a little bit easier. Brought in the youngster João Félix, who had a fantastic season for Benfica. Left out a couple of veterans who did not have good seasons. So, I mean, overall, I thought it was pretty spot on. Maybe there's one or maybe the only guy that would have warranted a look is you're talking about a guy, Ricardo Pereira, playing at Leicester City right back. But that's about it. There's not many other guys that could really make a case for themselves to be on this national team at the moment.
We're talking with Cristiano Oliveira of the Benfica podcast here on episode number 18 of the Seleção podcast. I am your host, Danny Pinto. You mentioned Ricardo Pereira, Cristian. For me, that was the, if there's going to be a quote-unquote omission from this 23-man roster, I think it was him, the player of the year as voted by the club at Leicester City, the player of the year voted by his fellow teammates at Leicester City. I have not seen enough from some of the guys like Mario Rui and Nelson Smith for me to see them warrant a spot over a guy like Ricardo Pereira. And to be quite honest, I wouldn't be surprised if he had been selected, if he even maybe showed up on either the left or the right side, because he's that versatile. But for me, like you mentioned, I think that's probably the only gripe, I think, of a Fdansanch 23-man squad.
Yeah, and let's not forget that you got a guy like João Cancelo, who's on this national team as well, that could play on both sides as well. So I think they could have shifted a couple of guys around, but you know, I mean, look, I think every one of those guys had a good season. Mario Rui got plenty of playing time at Napoli, made a case for himself. Same thing with Smith. I know he's a guy that, you know, has to fight for a spot with Sergio Roberto, but I still think he did enough to warrant a call-up. It just, look, it's a good problem to have when you have so many guys at the same position that warrant a call-up. I think it's a good problem for Fdansanch, and I think right now, let's be honest, maybe the fact that, you know, one guy's wearing a Juventus shirt and the other one a Barcelona shirt might have weighed a little bit more in making that decision over, you know, a shirt like a Leicester City.
Yep, that could very well be the case. You know, I in the last podcast that I had put out, I had mentioned that I thought that the outcries for Fdansanch's job after the first two draws, and I guess, you know, it's been four straight draws overall, but to open up Euro 2020 qualifying with two draws at home was very disappointing, and there was a lot of people online thinking that it's Fdansanch time to go. I was not in that crowd at that time. However, there is no bearing on the Euro 2020 here with the Nations League. So my question is, Is there an argument to be made over, at the very least, Fdansanch's job security based on how Portugal, their results in the Nations League?
I think anytime you manage a club, I mean, a nation like Portugal, right, with the caliber of players that they're able to put out there, every manager is going to have pressure on them. And I think, you know, obviously he won the Euro, the first major trophy for Portugal. A lot of people have been patient with him, but it's difficult when you have so many youngsters coming up through the pipeline and he's sticking with the Velha Guarda. And then when he does play some of the youngsters, you know, he's playing a Bernardo Silva out of position. And it's like, you know, his football is stale, man. He's got the old school 4-4-2 with the two guys on the outside hugging the lines. It's, you know, football's changed over the years. And, you know, I understand the criticism. But at the same time, I understand the people that are patient with Fdansanch, because as I mentioned before, the guy brought us, you know, the orgullo, brought us, you know, the Euro 2016 Cup, when nobody ever imagined that would happen. So they're going to be a little bit more patient with him, but they have to show, you know, that they're getting better. They have to show that these youngsters are going to be integrated into the team and making a difference rather than sticking with the old guys. Because in 2 years, in 3 years, when these major tournaments arrive, a lot of these old guys are going to be out of the roster. I mean, at some point, Pepe is going to have to be pushed to the side. At some point, João Moutinho is going to have to be pushed to the side. And maybe Bernardo Silva is going to have to take a little bit more control of what goes on in the midfield. I think those are the question marks for those that don't really support Fernando Santos 100% fully right now. I think those are the question marks that people have.
We're talking with Cristiano Oliveira of the Benfica podcast here on episode number 18 of the Seleção podcast. You can follow Cristiano on Twitter at 10CO10. Cristian, you mentioned some of the young guys, and let's go back a little bit to the two qualifiers, the Euro 2020 qualifiers, where We did not see Diogo Jota for whatever reason. Obviously, João Félix had picked up an injury in training after the first match. He did not show in the first match. And then Bruno Fernandes just picked up a knock prior to the two matches, and we didn't see him. Obviously, with the amount of opportunities that were created in those two matches, guys like that could have made a difference. If healthy, what kind of impact do you see these guys making in the starting 11, hopefully, or as a substitution, or as a substitute, I should say, with the Seleção?
I mean, those guys have the ability to change a game with a single touch. But let's be honest here, though, Danny. For a long time now on the Portuguese national team, you have plenty of guys that are tremendous at the club level. And then when they put on the national team shirt, I don't know if it's because they're out of their comfort zone. Maybe they're not playing at their preferred position. But it seems as a lot of guys shut down, they don't perform to the same level. So it is also up to the players, and it's their responsibility to perform up to the standards that we all, you know, expect them to do so, and that we watch them on a week-in, week-out basis on their club team. So those guys, man, you like to see these guys, Bruno Fernandes, João Félix in particular. Like you said, Jota that's had a fantastic season in Premier League over there at Wolverhampton. You like to see these guys get an opportunity here. I understand they're going to be trying to win the Nations Cup because, look, not only is it at home, but it's always good to win these tournaments for confidence-wise. Heading into the 2020 Euros, you want the team to be playing at its highest level possible. And trust me, confidence will play a big role in that. But, you know, it is what it is. We just don't know what to expect with Fernando Santos. Are these guys going to get a look? That's the one question mark heading into these games for me. I'm not sure if João Félix is going to get a look, to be brutally honest with you. Now, I think he should. I think Fernando Santos showed great initiative with not calling up a guy like André Silva, who did not have a good season, and he's calling up guys that warranted, based on, you know, the fantastic seasons that they had. Even a Diego Souza, who had a really good season at a Braga, and you got a guy like Jota, who scored a tremendous amount of goals. Same thing with João Félix, to pair alongside a Cristiano Ronaldo. You know, the guy's always going to be playing as much as he can. He's going to give it his all for his nation. So that's the question mark. How much is he going to be willing to give, to change up front, to give these guys a decisive role in this team?
You know, let's talk about, because you mentioned in that answer, let's talk about playing in Portugal. Obviously, on the surface, it should be a great advantage. You have the home field advantage, the home stadium advantage, the whole country behind them. How much pressure do you think is on Fernando Santos, on these players playing this tournament at home?
Look, you know the Portuguese people, man. You know how we are. We're always pessimistic, and we look to criticize any chance, any opportunity.
No, I disagree. We're very understanding. We're always open. We're open to all opinions. Let's agree to disagree on that. Yeah, okay. Right. Yeah, right.
Yeah. So, I mean, look, anytime the national team's playing at home, you know the support's going to be there, man. You saw it in 2004. Portugal was at a standstill. Anytime the bus traveled through Portugal just to get to the stadiums, it was a tremendous support that the public came out, and it was tremendous to see. It was beautiful to see the nation come out and support the national team. Now, I think the pressure is a little bit different because at that time, those games really mattered. I mean, you're talking about the country trying to get their first major trophy at a major competition, playing at home. Pressure is totally different than this time. Right now, it's more of having the team play and you see the team getting better, injecting some of these youngsters into the lineup and gradually getting better and getting this team ready for really what matters, which is 2020. And I think people will support. I think people will be patient. I don't think the pressure is anywhere near what it was in 2004. But anytime you have Cristiano Ronaldo on the field, you know, people are going to look at you and expect results right away.
Do you think them playing at home makes them the favorites for this tournament, even over England?
I think anytime you have Cristiano Ronaldo on the field, you're instantly a favorite. And then
solid point.
At home,
that's a pretty solid point.
Yeah, I mean, the guy, look, he could go 89 and a half minutes without doing a single thing. And in the 90th minute, he gets a touch on the ball and he gives you the 1-0 victory. That's why he is who he is. That's why he's a special player. And that's why he gets the big bucks, because these guys have the ability to change a game with one touch. As I mentioned before, same thing with João Félix and Bruno Fernandes. Obviously not at the Cristiano Ronaldo level. You like those guys to grow into that level, but Ronaldo's just a phenomenal player, man. And anytime you have that guy on your team, you have a huge advantage over your opposition. And playing at home is, you know, the support's going to be there. Your fans are going to be behind you. So it's a lot better to play at home than to play on the road, I'll tell you that much.
Yeah, absolutely. I guess it's a good problem to have if you're going to be able to host a tournament like this. And, you know, the thing too, which is such an advantage, and yeah, it's just a day, and Porto and Guimarães not that far away from each other, but playing that first game a day earlier than hopefully your opponent on Sunday in Porto again, so you don't have to travel. If there's even a more of an advantage there, you get an extra 24 hours to rest and to scout who is going to be your opponent 4 or 5 days later on June 9th.
Yeah, I mean, that's a great point by you. I mean, the travel is really going to help out. But I think these guys at this stage of the season, these guys have played a full season. They're going to be in tip-top shape. And 24 hours more, 24 hours less, these guys are professionals. They'll be ready on both sides. But, yes, definitely, if you had to choose one or the other, you obviously would want the extra 24 hours without a shadow of a doubt.
We're talking with Cristiano Oliveira from the Benfica podcast. Again, you can follow him on Twitter and on Instagram. Check him out. Check out all his pictures on at 10CO10. You're listening to episode number 18 of the Celeste Sound podcast as we're reviewing the 23-man roster for the semifinals and finals of the Nations League here. The 23-man roster named today, let's go with your ideal starting 11. If you were Fernando Santos, who would you put in your starting 11?
All right, so let's go. Vlaco Dimos, André Almeida, Ruben, Ferro.
Okay, hold on. Wrong podcast.
Wrong podcast. I apologize.
If you want me to get Alfred, I'll call Alfred right now, see if he,
What's
see
going
if he's
on,
available.
Everybody? Yeah, absolutely. Wrong podcast. I'm sorry for getting sidetracked, guys. No. Now, all jokes aside. So let's go. My starting 11 based on who's called up today. Rui Patricio, João Cancelo, Ruben Dias, Pepe, obviously. Rafael Guerreiro on the left. Neves, Bruno Fernandes, William Carvalho, even though I'm twisting my nose at that one. Bernardo Silva on one side. Rafa, Cristiano Ronaldo. And that's it, right? That's my 4-3-3, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, 4-3-3.
So, again, Rafa, Cristiano Ronaldo, Bernardo Silva. Up top, you got Bruno Fernandes, Ruben Neves, and the very popular with you, William Carvalho, and then the same back four we've had in the last few matches, Guerreiro, Pep, Ruben Dias, and João Cancelo with São Patrício in between the pipes there. So that is your starting 11. Let's shift real quick. Because I know, you know, and we're going to get to the Benfica stuff here in just a moment here. But obviously, the under 20 national team, they are involved in the World Cup that, and I believe they have their first match here. I believe this weekend, the under 20 World Cup. Obviously, Elio Souza has had great success in the under 17 and under 19 Euros, being the champions there. You're familiar with some of the players, obviously, on the squad. From Benfica, but what is your initial thought, and what do you think they can do, the Celeste Sound under 20 in this upcoming World Cup?
I think they definitely have a fantastic squad. They have the ability to go very far in this competition. But as you know, man, once you get out of the group stages, it all comes down to luck of the draw. It all comes down to getting a favorable matchup. But I would not be surprised if this team made a very, very deep run into the competition and even possibly winning it. They have very experienced players, and you're talking about a fantastic, fantastic squad, right? And João Félix is not even on that squad, so
sure.
It just goes to show you that Portugal right now is in very, very good hands, not just for these competitions that they will be playing in the next couple of weeks, but for the future. I mean, Portugal has abundance of young, good players going forward. So it's very exciting times. Hopefully some of these guys will get the experience now that will benefit them later on when they do get called up and become a huge part of the main squad. So very excited to watch the guys play. Very excited to watch some of the guys that I know personally on the squad. I'll definitely be tuned in as much as anyone watching the Portuguese national team U20 games.
You're listening to episode number 18 of the Seleção, a podcast. I'm your host, Danny Pinto. I'm joined by Cristiano Oliveira from the Benfica podcast. If this is your first indoctrination to Cristiano, obviously you know how and you can hear how knowledgeable he is in the game of football. Cristiano, tell me, as we shift to Benfica here, and let's go with the podcast first, tell me how you and Alfred and Dave all got together and how did the Benfica podcast initially start out?
Well, Benfica podcast started out, I mean, years ago, even before I came on the podcast. Alfredo had this dream of sharing his thoughts with people. And I believe they you know, used to write on a forum. And then one day he grabbed his phone and he just started talking to his phone. And that's why it's called talking to the doll. I mean, in English, it makes no sense. But in Portuguese, falar para o boneco. In Portuguese, you know, falar para o boneco. And that's what he was doing, speaking to himself, just sharing his thoughts. And then one day he started publishing them and made them, you know, available. I don't even know if it was YouTube. I don't even know. I mean, I wasn't around, but I know he made them available to the public. And then people started, you know, getting interested in that. And he started getting a little cult following, which was a beautiful thing. And then there was a couple of guys on the podcast prior to myself. And then one day to the next, man, I was asked by a good friend of ours also here that, you know, the guy that you've had on the podcast, Eric Krakauer, asked me to go on a Benfica podcast with him one day and to speak about the national team, believe it or not. I was like, I don't know. And he's like, come on in. I was like, all right. So I went on and I, you know, started speaking to Alfredo. So long story short, for those of you that don't know, I've known Alfredo for a very long time. I mean, going back to the early 90s. But we lost touch with each other for a good 10, 15 years. And I come on the podcast and this guy starts, you know, like, oh, you're Cristiano Oliveira. I'm like, yeah. He's like, yo, you remember me? I'm like, yeah, man. But I was just BSing, right? Because I did not. I'm like, yeah. Because he's like, I'm Alfredo. And I'm like, yeah, Alfredo, great. I'm like, cool. Hey, man, long time. How you been? Everything good? And so long story short, he starts the podcast. And he's like, hey, what's going on, everybody? I'm Alfredo Fumaças. And I interrupted. I'm like, wait, time out. Fumaças? Because obviously, he's the only Fumaças I know. The only
not a lot of them out there.
Not a lot of them. So when the Fumaças, I'm like, Fumaças? I'm like, wait a minute. We played together, I mean, many, many years prior. So I was like, whoa. And then we just started reminiscing, and it was a great time then. And then he started to asking me to come on a Benfica podcast. I started doing more regularity. And then that's how I became a part of the Benfica podcast, ladies and gentlemen. Because of our long-lasting friendship and the love for Benfica. And I saw that there was something special about the Benfica podcast. You know, I had an opportunity to come and share my thoughts on the club of my heart, the club that taught me what soccer was. It was the first thing I ever learned about soccer, about Benfica, obviously, back, I don't want to tell you all, but way back in the days. And then I saw the connection that we had to people and you know, in the English-speaking world throughout the world, man. It was just great to share our thoughts, and it was a great way to meet people, and it was a great way to keep people informed. And so here we are. I mean, years later, we're still doing the Benfica podcast. Very happy to be doing so. Glad that people listen to us, and you know, it's been a fantastic time doing so. And now this past week, and obviously, as you know, Benfica won a 37th title. And
I hadn't heard, right?
Yeah. A lot of people sent us some wonderful messages, you know, saying that, you know, through Benfica podcast, they got to meet other Benfiquistas and they had, you know, their first experience in going to Estádio da Luz this week and then meeting people. So, I mean, that brings us a lot of happiness, man. We're very glad that we're able to get the Benfica community together. And you know, and make friends along the way, man. It's been fantastic, fantastic ride for us.
You know, let me touch on that real quick in terms of the connection, because obviously, you know, you were born in Portugal. Obviously, yep. Alfred is, was he also born there too or no?
Yeah. Okay. Alfredo came here a lot older than I was.
Okay.
Yeah.
But where I'm going is obviously, you know, you're raised in the States. I was born here in the States. My folks, from the Azores, they came over here in 1974. Being able to be involved in something that you're so passionate about from the old country, from something that was taught to you as a kid, and being able to do it in English so that there's such a bigger audience who, you know, are first, second, third, fourth generations. They're, you know, their parents probably don't speak English, but something that can connect you, like the game of football, whether it's the club level with Benfica or whether it's on the national level with the Seleção. To me, that was one of the reasons why I wanted to start this podcast. And I'm only now 18, 19 episodes in, and we're actually coming up on a year this weekend. So, you know, you guys just finished up, you know, 325th. And I loved Alfred's math too. 3 + 32 + 5. It's good because 37. But to me, it's such a great thing to not only do something like this, but then, like you said, to get reaction and to get, you know, just I guess a camaraderie with everyone that loves the club and loves the team and loves the national team, like we all do from all over the world.
Yeah, and Danny, I'll tell you, I mean, the most surprising part, obviously you expected that, to get that, like you said, from the second, third, fourth generation, you know, Portuguese that are out here, that you know, not just out here in the United States, but in other English-speaking countries. But then you get the South African, the Australian, the Chinese, right? The people that aren't even Portuguese.
Yeah, absolutely.
The Englishman, the Colombian, right? And it's just, like, we're their link to Benfica. And it's just you know, it's a great... It's a great, you know, great feeling. There's other podcasts doing tremendous work as well, man. And it's just such a huge community, man. And you realize, and I know those of you that are listening to the Seleção podcast right now that are obviously like green and blue are not enjoying this part of the podcast. And I apologize. you know, fast forward.
We'll slap a warning on at the beginning of the
fast forward.
Yeah,
but you know, it's a huge family, man. That's the one thing I've noticed about Benfiquistas. It doesn't matter. You know, your background doesn't matter. Your nationality doesn't matter. You know, it's a huge family. And as long as you love Benfica, hey, you're always welcome.
You know, let's talk about real quick the season that just came to an end, and what a season it was, where, you know, we have Rui Vitória starting the season. There was speculation on his job pretty much going into the season. He gets dismissed about midway through. Enter Bruno Lage. Obviously, his record speaks for itself. 18 wins, one draw in the last 19, and obviously the 37th championship. 5 out of 6 is a good run, but just how satisfying and how different was this championship as an avid Benfiquista like yourself, following the team as long as you have?
Totally different than years past, man. I got to be honest. Obviously, being 7 points back, replacing your coach. A lot of people didn't really believe that this moment, right, that we'd be here right now with Benfica lifting the 37th. But to me, it was gratifying. It's a totally different gratitude for the title and you know, in a different feeling than years past. Because in years past, you know, it was just you're in the moment and you're enjoying it because Benfica has, you know, turned things around. And, I mean, you have the 1 year when Jorge Jesus first goes to Sporting, and Benfica is 7 or 8 points behind as well. And Benfica goes 23-1-1 in their last 25 with all the criticism from Jesus and the Ferrari Vermelho and this and that. But this year, with all the nonsense, man, all the noise outside the four lines, that's right now, that's ruining Portuguese football, it meant something totally different. You know what I mean? Like, as much as I enjoyed it, I didn't enjoy it like years past, to be brutally honest with you. Like, I've always cried. I've always had tears, and I've always enjoyed that. But this year was a little bit different, you know, because there's just so much BS surrounding Portuguese football that it made it a little bit tough to enjoy the moment, because you just know that you're not going to get the credit you deserve, because everyone and everybody is going to try to point the finger at this and that. And right now, Portuguese football, it's not a pretty picture. But at the end of the day, look, I'd rather lift the trophy, you know, when things aren't going beautiful, than not lift it and able to say that, oh, right now, Portuguese football, I don't care. As long as Benfica lifts the trophy, that's all I care about. And so in that aspect, I'm tremendously grateful to Bruno Lage. I mean, I think the guy's been a miracle worker. I mean, I don't even think he believed in himself that he'd have such a huge turnaround from what we saw early in the season. And it's just, he's been a breath of fresh air. The guy speaks positive. He's never pointing fingers. He's never talking bad about others like we see from other clubs. And it's a beautiful thing to watch, man. I hope that this continues for the foreseeable future. And I hope that other teams in Portugal take a cue from it and follow suit.
Before we let you go, Cristiano, and I really appreciate your time tonight. Again, you can follow Cristiano on both Instagram and Twitter, 10CO10. I want to just touch on Brun Lage. To me, and I knew nothing about Brun Lage up until he was appointed, and obviously you see the progression and the absolute success he had with the club. He, to me, is the most unassuming anti-Portuguese league coach that I've seen in quite some time. Where, like you mentioned, he doesn't fight through the media. He doesn't fight with the media. Obviously, he hasn't had it. He hasn't had the struggles, because when you go 18 wins and a draw in your 19 games, you don't have many. But he just seemed to be the most unassuming, down-to-earth, even keel person. And I know Benfica needed something like that, but as you mentioned, wouldn't the league need and want more coaches like that? Because, I mean, listen, Sergio Conceição is a great coach, in my opinion. JJ is a great coach. He's done great with Benfica. He had an awful spell at Sporting, but, you know, these are the antithesis of Brun Lage, but yet they can all coexist. But, God, he was just the anti-Portuguese Liga coach. And to me, it was a breath of fresh air.
Absolutely, man. I mean, this guy he's been wonderful, man. Even after his press conferences, after Benfica, you know, clinching the title, well, you know, winning the title, lifting the title at home against Santa Clara on Saturday, his message to the general public, I mean, to Benfica, Sportistas, anyone that's Portuguese, was very positive. And he's just, look, man, he's a tremendous guy. He's a player's coach. You could tell the guy holds a confidence. He's the type of guy that I don't know a single player that wouldn't like to play for him. We just hope that this continues. Like you said, we'll see your true colors when you do go through some struggles, right? Because that's when you got to fight through things. But so far, what we've seen from him, like you said, everything's come up roses. But I love everything about him. I love his message. I love everything we've seen from him. And I just hope that he continues this into the future. And I hope that Benfica doesn't do what they did 2 years ago and sell off half their squad and not bring in the adequate replacements. I hope that Benfica does what they have to do this offseason and strengthens where they need to strengthen and really grab a hold of this league and dominate it for the next 4 or 5 years and just go on a run of winning championships to silence those critics. Because the only way you're going to get rid of that ugly side of football, especially from those two clubs, when they just want to point the fingers and dirty and damage everything that's done in a positive way, the only way to silence these guys is by really dominating. And at some point, the clubs are going to have to get rid of these guys, because whatever they're trying is not working. So as a Benfiquista, selfishly, I'm looking at things that way. But overall, I just think that Portuguese football, I hope that they clean up their act and gives a positive picture for the people on the outside, because things are not good right now in Portuguese football. But nonetheless, Benfica campeão, and that's all that matters. Sorry for my terrible singing.
Oh, no. I thought it was lovely. you guys on the Benfica podcast have one more show coming up next week. It's like your end of the year award show. Tell us what we can expect on the last one before the summer.
Yeah, we're going to give out the 10 CO10 Chicken Finger of the Year Award to the top player of the season. We're going to give out our picks for positions and that we think should be strengthened for next season. We're going to give out grades. I mean, it's just, you know, you got to tune in, guys. You got to tune in. I haven't been able to sleep just thinking about next week's podcast, and I don't believe I'll be sleeping anytime soon, because I'm just so excited to hop on the next Benfica podcast, and then we'll take a break after that. So if you like Benfica podcast, tune in, because it might be the last time you listen to us for a little bit.
How would you grade this podcast?
Fantastic.
I agree.
It's true, man. I mean, look, we're talking, we talked about our national team, and now we're talking about Benfica podcast. Anytime, any opportunity I get to speak about O Glorioso, to me, is fantastic. It's an A+ grade.
Well, yeah, I agree. There we go, man. I can't thank you enough, Christian, especially on the East Coast. I know it's a late night over there for you right now, but really, really appreciate your time coming on the show. Again, follow Christian Oliveira on Twitter, 10CO10, also on Instagram, 10CO10. Make sure you're listening to the Benfica podcast with Christian, Alfred, and Dave. Can't thank you enough, man, and hopefully we can celebrate a Nations League inaugural championship, whatever that trophy looks like, and onward to Euro 2020 qualifying and the defense of the European title.
Yeah, fantastic, bro. Thank you for having me on, man. It was an absolute honor to come on your podcast and speak about our national team, speak about Benfica, as I said before. Anytime you like me to come back on, I'm here. And anything I could do for the podcast, man. Everybody, if you're listening, make sure you tune into this one and the many in the future. Danny's a great guy, man, and he's got the right attitude, the right mentality. So very happy for you, and I wish you nothing but success in the future.
Appreciate it, brother, man. Forza, and we'll talk soon.
Thanks, man. Take care.
And a big thank you once again to Cristiano Oliveira of the Benfica podcast for joining us here on episode number 18 of the Celeste Song podcast. Can't thank him enough for his time, for his insight. Make sure you give him a follow on Twitter, at 10CO10. That's the same handle on Instagram, at 10CO10. Please follow the Benfica podcast if you're not already, at Benfica podcast on Twitter. And by all means, give Alfred Fumasage and Dave de Oliveira a follow too. Those are Christian's co-hosts on the show. Alfred, you can follow him at Talking to the Doll, and Dave de Oliveira is at 87DO87. So again, my thanks to Christian Oliveira for his time here on the Celeson podcast. Before we go, definitely want to hear from you guys as you know what the roster announcement. Wanted to get your thoughts on the roster and get some questions from you guys as it pertains to the Celeson and the roster call ups and we first go to and we have submissions here from Twitter and we have one from Instagram this week that we will share with you. First one is from Simba Walker Kemba Walker played at UConn. I'm guessing he's from back east, but Simba Walker, you can follow Simba at Simba_Walker_ on Twitter. And his question was, who would you start up front with Cristiano Ronaldo? I think that really all depends on how Portugal wants to open up. If they go with the 4-3-3 like we have been with the two defensive midfielders and a midfielder, and then having three wings or forwards, a combination of the two up top, I could very well see the top three as Christian mentioned in the interview, Hafa, CR7, and Bernard Silva. I could see João Félix with Ronaldo and Bernard Silva. I could see Diogo Jota with Cristiano Ronaldo and Bernard Silva. I think Bernard Silva and Cristiano Ronaldo, I think, are definitely, you can write their names in ink as to getting in and starting as two of the three in the 4-3-3. I think that last spot is definitely open. Although all three are in form, so it wouldn't surprise me to see Rafa Silva get the start. And then have Diogo Jota and João Félix available off the bench. Again, firepower, it's there, it's available, and it needs to be used in the correct way. And hopefully, Fernando Sanches pulls the correct strings and gets these guys to convert the opportunities that we've been creating in the last few matches. So, didn't really answer that question, but sorry, Simba, it's kind of a tough one to answer. But Hopefully you liked it. Hopefully you liked it. We go now to Jesse Patrão. You can follow Jesse at 89_tidypat. I don't know where Jesse's from, but I appreciate the question, bud. Can you get Félix, Bruno Fernandes, and Bernard Silva on the pitch at the same time while still having width and pace on the wings? I think you can. I just don't know if you could do it for 90 minutes. The talent's there, so it's something that I definitely would like to see used at some point, because again, we mentioned that Bruno Fernandes and João Félix were not options for the Seleção in the last two qualifiers for Euro 2020, and it showed the lack of finishing, the lack of scoring. So those two guys definitely give Fernando Sanches some opportunities and some options to hopefully convert on those opportunities. Having the same width and pace,
It all depends. I think it all depends too on the situation in the game. They may have to push it if those three guys are on the field at the same time. If we're sitting back, I don't see all three being on the field at the same time. I think it does depend on game situation. But I mean, I would definitely love to see how those three would be on the field together. And just to see how that would work, because I mean, again, the talent's there. So I would think that opportunities would be created. We would just have to see exactly what, if there's any downside to that when the ball is coming the other way. But I'd love to see those three on the field and see what they could do. So Jesse, thank you for your question. We go now to King Divinu. King Divinu, you can follow him on Twitter at King Divinu 1. How much longer do you think Pep will play for the team, and when or how will Fech transition into the spot? To me, when Fech eventually makes the jump to the national team, the senior national team, I think it will be not an easy transition, but there will be some familiarization already there with his teammate at Benfica, Ruben Dias, playing center back. You also have Diogo Leite from Porto, who's playing in the U20 World Cup. So the good thing about this question is that we kind of are seeing a little bit of a light at the end of the tunnel in terms of possibilities for center backs. For years, it's been and it's such a great term that Christian used, the guardavelha. Where you have Pep, who's been such a great player for the Seleção, and one of the most important players in the last decade for the Seleção, José Font, Luiz Neto, Ricardo Carvalho. In 2016, he got the call. So there had always been something that the pipeline had always been kind of lacking there, and we kind of see a little bit of like a light at the end of the tunnel, as I mentioned, with guys like Ferro and Diogo Leite. So in terms of how he would transition, I think that also depends on how long Ruben Dias is going to be with Benfica, how long Fech is going to be with Benfica. So I think the longer that Ruben Dias and Fech can play together at Benfica, I think that will definitely help them in terms of chemistry if and when Fech finally makes his jump to the national team. Our last question from Twitter is from Mitchell Hua. You can follow Mitchell at Tripeiro Nation. That's Tripeiro Nation. And my man is from Sydney, Australia. So thank you very much, Mitchell, for listening and for writing in. His question was, why do you think Ricard Pereira is not being called up? World Cup performances aside, he has gone from strength to strength at club level. You know, that was my one and really only omission from the Seleção squad that I thought Fernando Santos missed. If selected, who knows if he would just be like Ruben Dias? I'm sorry, Mario Rui and Nelson Smith as, you know, backup. You know, I personally think he's merited even starting if you really want to get down to it. If he had been selected, and his versatility adds that he could go either left or right. I don't know why he's not selected. He has the quality to be selected. I just think that in this case, that Fernando Santos was good with the four that he had, and wants to continue to roll with his two right backs and two left backs that he has previously selected. And you know, it becomes a numbers game, and with two less slots. This go around for the Nations League, who knows if he would have been selected if it was a 25-man roster instead of the 23. But I do think he still has a very bright future with the Seleção. There is just a bit of a logjam right now, and I think he needs to be higher up on the pecking order of that logjam. But we shall see what the future holds for him on the Seleção stage. So those were our Twitter questions, and our one Instagram submission comes from DEAMARAL7. That's DEAMARAL7. And the comment is, Ricard Pereira should be a starter given his current form. It was criminal to select Nelson Smith over him. He would have liked to have seen Fech over Danilo, if only to get his feet wet within the squad. There's no need for three defensive midfielders. He rates William and Neves well above Danilo. He still feels that Ricard Quaresma offers more than Gonçalo Guedes, but he understands that there may be a need to phase out a 35-year-old winger. Again, he's a Ricard Pereira fan, or not a fan, but he feels that Ricard Pereira should have been selected. I kind of want to touch on the last part. I don't think there's any reason to ever phase out somebody who can still contribute, no matter the age. If you feel that someone at age 35 can still contribute to your team, you pick him. Now, I don't know if Fernand Sanch doesn't feel like Ricard Quaresma can contribute to the Selecao. Personally, I still think he can. He is not playing 90 minutes, make no mistake. But what I think this team may lack that Ricard Quaresma brings is that Ricard Quaresma is a specialist. He can get balls into the box. And all you need from Ricard Quaresma is a good 15, 20-minute run, 30 at the max, where he's giving opportunities to the guys up front to score goals. So I would have taken Ricard Quaresma over Diego Souza simply because you already have CR7, Bernard Silva, Rafa Silva, Jota, and João Félix. I think you could have brought Ricard Quaresma in as a specialist. Again, you're bringing him in as the 22nd, 23rd selection. So it's not that he's going to be playing a prominent role, but if I was Fernand Sanch, I would have that kind of ace in the hole if needed to bring that element of the offense into the match if he needed it. And, again, hopefully we don't need a specialist. We don't need any kind of a boost in the arm to get us a goal, because I think we already have the quality to do that with the team already selected. But I don't think age has anything to do with not being selected, as long as you can still do it at a high level. And I still think Ricard Quaresma has some left to offer the Selecao. But it is getting crowded on the wings and up top. And there is a change in the availability, the quality availability at the wings and the forwards now. And it may be a numbers game, and it may be just time for him to be phased out. But I do think that he still has something to give this Selecao. We may never see him play a meaningful match for the Selecao again. And if that is the case, just thank you for everything you did, bud, because you're a big part of 2016. It's definitely a career that's left a lot to be desired, simply because of the potential that it could have been. But he was able to still get his trophy and help the Selecao with the 2016 Euro. I tip my hat off to him, and I hope it's not the end. But the way things are going, it's kind of looking that way. But I want to reiterate, I don't care how old you are. If you could do it, you could do it. And if you could do it better than a 23-year-old, you should be able to be selected. So that will do it for this episode of the Selecao podcast. I want to thank obviously all of you guys for tuning in, for your questions. I want to thank Cristiano Oliveira of the Benfica podcast for coming on and being my guest. You can follow us on Twitter at Selecao Pod. Follow us on Instagram at Selecao Pod. Facebook.com/SelecaoPod. Like our page, share our page there. Of course, we have all kinds of information and all kinds of good stuff on our website, SelecaoPod.com. And of course, make sure you go to Portugal.net to check out all the great articles that Tom and his team are putting out. Before I say goodbye, by the time that this episode is posted, which should be Friday the 24th, May 25th will mark 1 year that this podcast has officially been in existence. We put out our first episode on May the 25th, 2018, and it has been, the word for me, it has been so fulfilling to be doing this show and to be able to have the opportunity that that I've been given from Tom and Portugal.net to connect to so many more people. But I just want to thank all of you who have listened from the beginning, who are just tuning in for the first, you know, for the last few episodes. I want to thank all of you guys for all the support, all of the interactions, the agreements, the disagreements. This has been what I thought it could have been and what I was looking for, and it's also been even more than that in spades. Just the support from all of you from all over the world, and that's the thing that absolutely just boggles my mind. I know we're living in an era where, you know, you can you know, connect with so many people at the you know, in a snap of a finger, from anywhere. But to know that people from, you know, Europe and Australia and India and just, you know, all over the world are responding and are you know, interacting and listening, it means the absolute world, guys. It really does. And I just want to thank everybody for their support, for being a part of this. I want to make sure that I thank all of our guests that we've had so far in this first year. Michael Teixeira, Jimmy Ange, Rui Miguel Martins, Mark Anthony Souza, James Faria, Steve Reida, Nelson Azved, Brian Tost, Eric Krakauer, Taylor and Jason Amarant, Nelson Pontagarsa, Eric Vieira, Nathan Motes, Christian Oliveira, and of course Tom Kundert. I'll speak to Tom about Tom in a second, but thank you for coming on and giving me an opportunity and being part of this this passion project. And to Tom, thank you obviously for giving us this partnership with you and Portugal.net. It's been something that has been so fulfilling and so awesome to be able to do. It has been by far the best project and the best show that I've ever been a part of. And that sounds weird being a solo act, for lack of a better term, but it's everything that it has encompassed. It's the reaction, it's the interaction, it's the subject matter. I love this lesson, and to be able to talk about it and to be able to talk to so many people about it and interact with them. It's been, to be very honest with you, it's been a dream come true. And I want to thank all of you out there for making it happen, and I just onward and upward, and, you know, hoping that we have more successes to talk about, beginning with the Nations League, what I hope to do is we want to put out one more episode prior to the Nations League. I've been in contact with folks who cover the Swiss national team, the Netherlands, and the English national team, and I hope to have a podcast to get their points of view for the Nations League. I get their points of view on the Selecion. Obviously, with the semifinal matchup, we get the Swiss point of view there, and then a potential final matchup from either the Netherlands or the English team. So, still lots to get to. Still lots to bring you in the future. Hoping year two is good, if not better, than year one. And again, can't thank you guys enough for all of your support. So thank you guys so much for tuning in. Remember to rate us also on any podcast platform that you're subscribing to. Please make sure you give us a 5-star rating, leave us a review, give us any kind of rating that you possibly can. It helps out the show tremendously and opens up even more doors for the podcast. And I would really, really greatly appreciate you guys doing that for me. So thank you so much. So this has been episode number 18 of the Selecion Podcast. I am your host, Danny Pinto, and Forza Portugal!